Hello and welcome everyone. Welcome to our fifth week of the Global Impact of Self-Love. I really look forward to hearing from some of you at the end of this call today and see how you're doing, what you're learning. Maybe you're running into some of these boulders, and or maybe you've moved through some boulders. And I really hope that this is helping you to get more in touch with the depth of your soul and what you came here for and what you want to live in this world. So today, week five, today's class is called God's Mouthpiece, the True Meaning of Desire. And that's what we'll be exploring today. We'll be exploring desire and longing and what it really means. I know that specifically for many spiritual teachers, spiritual people, this can be very scary and confusing, because if you are a Buddhist or have heard about it, you might shy away from desire because they often talk about that's the cause of suffering. And I would agree to that to a certain point, and I'll explain more about that today, because that's really what we need to get a greater understanding of. So I want to share with you what I learned years ago and how that changed my relationship to desire. It was one of those U's, you know, 180 turnaround. It was just amazing. And after that realization, I mean, the understanding what desire really is, I just wanted to dive right into it. I wanted to become it. I wanted to listen to it, befriend it, and love it. And, you know, make myself available for it. And you might wonder, like, what happened? You know, what did you realize to see it so opposite? So this is what happened. This is a number of years ago, and if you have my book, you may already have read about it in my book, because it was a really big turning point. So one day during a meditation, out of the blue, I was shown the meaning of desire and what it really is. It was almost like it was being split into two words, de and sire. So I saw that D means from or of. That is kind of, you can even find that in the dictionary. And the same with the next word, sire, that actually means the originator or the king. You know, you say sire, right, to the king. Or, you know, if you want the queen, that's fine too. Or it also means a stallion. So sire is the ruler, as the king, and also one that gives offspring, as in a stallion. So what I saw what it meant is that desire is from the divine, from the originator. Desire is originating from the divine. And maybe we can add to create offspring. So to me, that sounds like divine creation. Could it be that that is how the divine creates, through the deep desire and longing in our hearts? It's originating from the divine, and it was such a big aha to me. I mean, it was really about as opposite as I'd ever heard it. But here's the thing. I felt it in my body. And that's why we really have been getting into the body and feeling, you know, the sensations of a yes and a no. And you know how we're using the body more and more now as your guide. So there was this feeling of warmth and peace and glow, or just a knowing, just this deep yes. I knew that was true. And I could feel it moving through my whole body as a clear confirmation that this was true. And I really trusted that, because I could not trust it. You know, when you have one of these deep realizations, these deep openings, there's no doubt. There is no room for doubt. It's just, you just know. And that's what we're going to get more and more familiar with and more comfortable with, to trust that more than what the mind wants to make of it. So it just really made me so happy, because the old belief that I had about it before, that was just so limiting, right? And it was not okay to do what feels good or what makes you happy, what made me happy. And this realization, that really made me curious about how it's been so misunderstood. And I really wanted to see how I can help this new truth become more available and see how it can be lived. Because even to this day, I still hear spiritual teachers say that you basically need to get rid of your desires. And it was not my experience. I would say it is partly true. I agree with it halfway, but that's only because I understand now what desire is and how it can be misunderstood. And that's what we really will dive into today. So you have some really good stuff to look forward to. And then, of course, especially when they say, you know, you have to get rid of your desires. Well, you know, in my world, getting rid of, it doesn't work. It's duality. And it adds to that split we experience in duality. And, you know, you may recognize this in yourself, and that there's this tendency to want to get rid of something, right? And you know how we've been working with allowing instead of resisting or instead of getting rid of. You know, we breathe into the discomfort with a kind hello instead of what we're used to saying is go away, right? I want to get rid of you. So in my experience, filling up from within, that feels so much more true and lasting than whole than trying to get rid of. It's like the contraction. And that's what we've worked with. I remember I used a little metaphor of a flower that was wilting. You know, instead of getting rid of the flower or trying to change it or fix it, it just needed water. It just needed water. And then it came back to life. And the same with us. You know, if we have some desires, some distorted desires that we'll go into, we can't get rid of them. They need something so they can come back and become the flower that they are supposed to be. So even with desire, or also with desire, I'm always advocating to go with the experience. Remember, you go with the experience, and then you learn from it. So what might happen if you would go with the feeling of desire instead of suppressing it, instead of trying to get rid of it or think it's too much or it's wrong or it's bad or you're selfish? What if you didn't do all that? What if you just got curious? Just exactly the same like we've done with the feeling of yes and no, right? You go into the body and you learn from it. That's where the juice is. That's where the realizations are. So you might wonder, you know, can it really be true that the desire or the longing that you feel in your heart is God's way of letting you know where, should we call it she or he or it, is going? And it needs you and me as an outlet. Can that really be true? And is it really possible that your deep desires are here for a reason? And maybe they're not just your ego. It's not just you trying to be selfish. And then to bring it back to the imprisoned splendor that we've talked so much about, could it be that this longing or desire you feel is just something bigger? Maybe it's the splendor that's waking up, and it's trying to get your attention. So just see, you know, these questions. What do you feel inside? Do you feel a yes? Do you feel an opening maybe an excitement, or maybe you still feel like, not so sure. Whatever it is, allow it, okay? But I can tell you that I sure feel a big yes to all these questions because, of course, I've seen it, I realized it, I know it's true. So it's not a mistake that we all have a deep longing in our hearts for a life that is fulfilling and meaningful and that matters. You know, it's normal. We all have it. It's natural. It's probably hardwired into us all for survival and growth, and specifically right now for evolution. We're evolving into a whole new species and a whole new way of being. And how would the divine get your attention if not through this feeling inside? So I would still really say it is the splendor, it is the divine you feel here. And this splendor has been asleep, this part of us. It, you know, we're not separate from it, right? So it's as if the splendor is waking up from a long, 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 long sleep, thousands of lifetimes. But it's always been here, right? But we've just been too busy doing other things. We haven't been spending time with that. I think I heard a spiritual teacher once say, you know, because we didn't pay attention to the divine, it kind of turned away or it went to sleep, right? Because we have not been acknowledging it or paying attention to it. And it may not have stirred inside of you strong enough so you actually could notice it, or so that you could pay attention to it. But that's what I'm seeing in, you know, my work right now with my, not just my work, my clients, with everyone. There is a stirring. There is just something that's waking up in us. And we're not quite sure what to do with that. And I'm sure you've noticed that. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. So evolution is stirring inside of you, and it's ready to move to a new level. And this new level, this evolution is you, and it is me. You know, it's not like there's this evolution going on, and then there's you, and then there's me, right? We're not separate from it. It is who we are. And that's what we're waking up to. So we are this evolutionary stirring inside. And the part of us that has been resisting this stirring, that's the part that is still identified with the old paradigm, right? As if it's separate. That's why that part may think like, well, there's me, and then there's the stirring. But you know what? That's not me. I'm just going to turn away from it. But when you start waking up, then you realize that it is not separate. It is who we are. And also, just to go back to my book, Imagine Being Kind to Yourself, I wrote about it as if there's a new wave coming in, and the old wave is going out. And it's up to you and me which wave we're surfing. The new wave that's going home or up to the other shore, like we talked so much about, or the old wave that's going to go out and under. It's complete. This evolutionary wave has completed its cycle, no different than a wave. It runs in, and then it goes back out into the ocean and dissolves into the oneness. Same thing. But you don't need to go with this. Well, not that you don't want to dissolve into the oneness, but there is something moving to a higher evolution, and that's what we're feeling, and we really need to honor that. So here's the thing, though. Because we've been so identified with this old wave, I mean, for lifetimes, right, it's quite normal that even for a long time, you just want to flow with that because it's so familiar. And in that, you'll resist the new wave that is coming in, which is going in the opposite direction. So naturally, it's natural that we have ignored this new wave or this longing. It's like we couldn't believe it was possible because it's so opposite from what we're used to. It just doesn't make sense if you compare it to the old wave or the old paradigm. It's too opposite. And it's really important to understand this here, because that is still living in you, in all of us. So if we also go a little bit back in the past, you know, because of our past experiences in the old paradigm, we still expect to get in trouble if we go against a familiar flow, right? In the old paradigm, you had to fit in, right? So if you ever wonder why you're still trying to fit in and be like everybody else and please them and compromise this new wave in you, it's because in the old paradigm, that was not okay. That just didn't work. You would really get in trouble if you did that, right? So when you finally start noticing this splendor inside, which is really going against the, it's going opposite, right? It's going home. It's going to the other shore. So it's opposite. So of course you're going to ignore it and suppress it for a while. You know, I want to normalize the things we're going through. If we can normalize them and understand what's going on, it's going to make it so much easier to get on your new wave and surf it home. Because now imagine that you're the only one, right, standing out and saying, oh, you know, hey, I'm going to follow my heart, or I'm going to move with my deeper dharma or my inner calling, and I'm not going to pay attention to what I don't want or what's not just or right. If you just do that and stand out and be different, you know, what would people say? You would be so different that you're going to get in trouble, and that has happened before. So we wanna be aware of that we are up against an old pattern, both inside of us and outside of us. And in the past, I mean, I'm sure we know plenty of people who got killed for it. They died, right? So I don't want that to happen to me. I'm sure it's happened. I know kind of that it's happened before in other lifetimes. So I'm more aware, I'm more wise how to surf that right now. But things are also different because so many more people are aware of this, that you're not alone anymore. But I just want to break it down again. I really want you to get how important it is to see what's going on inside of you. So first, you got to get in touch with this new wave inside, right? The splendor as your longing or your desire. First, you need to get even in touch with it because you've been asleep to it. And then when you do, you're going to run into all these reasons why you should not follow it, why you cannot trust it, why it's going to get you in trouble if you do, and why you should not believe what you actually already know. And then finally, like this isn't enough, finally, why you should not align your actions with this inner calling. So there's plenty of reasons that most people on the planet are still not following this stirring, even though they are beginning to feel it. And these reasons, those are the ones that have squashed the purity of the longing itself, or the purity of the feeling of this desire in our heart. This is the splendor. So because these reasons that I just mentioned, that's why we are not able to really feel what longing or desire is, just like I did in that meditation. I hope you can see that. You see, it's the splendor trying to get your attention so that you and I, we, can become an outlet for the new wave. And what we've done, I've done it in the past, we all do it in the beginning, then we squash it. So when you squash this feeling, then There is still something in us that wants something. There is a longing for something. But when we don't understand the longing, we squash it, and then we go into the world hoping to find that fulfillment for the longing in the world. But here's the thing, it's not in the world. You cannot find it out there. Because the energy of the desire, the energy of the splendor, or the calling of the divine, that still lives in you. And you know, it cannot go away. It can't go away. It is you. It is you waking up into a new you. You are waking up. This energy is your wake-up call. So remember, the desire or the longing is not separate from you. It is you. It is your divine, it is my divine inner splendor who's knocking at the door of your consciousness, and it's asking to be let in, or maybe let out, depending on how you look at it. It wants to be allowed into your consciousness because it needs you to be an outlet for it. And what are you being an outlet for? You're being an outlet for you, the true you, the true you that's been squashed in there. So what I saw, what happened, when we leave this desire and try to find something outside of it, out in the world, to fill ourselves up with, because there's a feeling of something is missing, right? It's that this squashed or suppressed energy of your desire, it simply gets twisted, it gets distorted in the suppressing it. It's not going to go away, it just gets twisted. And then what happens, because it's twisted, you still feel you want something, but you're not going in the right direction, you're going outward instead of inward. And then that's when you go and hope to try and find something in the world. But this is exactly what I saw, how the desire in the spiritual circles has been kind of degraded into, oh, this causes your suffering, and it's almost like it's been made into our enemy. But if you really get what I'm saying here, that the reason is only that we've been suppressing the real felt sense of the desire itself. And when you do that, then it can look selfish, and it can look like it will cause you suffering, and it probably does. But it's because we're afraid of it for all these reasons that I said above, and that's why we ignore it and suppress this desire, and it gets distorted, and we don't want to do that anymore. But the other part of it is that you really cannot help trying to fill the desire. Because this desire, this energy from the divine, it wants to fulfill itself in the world as itself, not with something from the outside of itself. Yeah, I know I'm repeating myself, but this is so important if you can understand that. It's the squashing of the purity of the felt sense of this longing or this desire that distorts it. And when you do that, then you're going to go outside and you're going to be looking for a person or a thing or an achievement or something to fill it up. And it can't be done. The desire, the felt sense of the desire itself is the fulfillment. It does not need anything to fulfill itself. It is the fulfillment, but it fulfills itself by expressing itself and by being itself, by becoming itself in this dimension. So we need to turn our attention towards it and not away from it. I think it's a little different in the Sufi traditions. And if you are connected with the Sufi traditions, you may already have a different connection with longing. Because there, the longing is actually a big part of their path. They know it's the divine, so they do love their desire. So if you're already connected with that, I celebrate you. That is fantastic, because it's such a beautiful, beautiful path to move into the desire, back to the divine. So I wrote down here, what I want you to do is to meet your desire heart on, instead of head on, because we meet it head on by thinking there's something wrong with it. But we need to meet our desire heart on, with our heart. And then you can dive into the felt sense in your body, and that's where you're going to meet the divine inside of you. And you're going to actually start realizing that you're going to meet the divine as you, not separate from you. And I know that's big, but it's still true. It's okay to be big, you know. So in my book, The Desire You Feel in Your Heart, based on that realization I had, is the divine's way of letting you know the direction of your life when you are aligned with the divine. It's that simple. It's kind of like a GPS. It is very simple once you dive in, but my goodness, how we've complicated it by thinking that this feeling of desire is not okay, then distorted it, thinking, let's say, money or sex or success or things need to fill it, and hope that that will quench the thirst in this felt sense. But the longing is not going to go away. The only way the longing is going to, quote, go away is, well, it's not going to go away. It's going to change. It's going to change your experience of it. It's incredible, beautiful, incredibly beautiful. There's also something about an ache. You know, when we move away from it, we start feeling it as if it's an ache. It's as if something is missing. And that's a lot of the confusion that's been happening. So the only thing that will fill up this sense of longing is you turning towards it. Dive into it. Dive into the felt sense of it. Jump head first into the feeling of it. And if you can, let yourself be consumed by it, you know, become one with it. And then every move that you make will be aligned with the divine, and your fulfillment will come in that or as that or through that, because, like I said, it's not separate. But if we just look back at the other weeks that we've worked here together, we still have a little work to do first. There is still some excavation that needs to happen. All the boulders and all the mudslides and all the things that have caused this building up that we have done to basically close off our heart or not be in touch with the desire. All the beliefs that we need to first meet and allow, realize that it's not bad and it's not unspiritual, it's not selfish to have desires, to long for something. It's only when you turn away from it and distorts it, then it gets, we might call it selfish then, because then it's all about your little self, where the desire and the true desire is all about your big self. And that is really, when you really dive into it, it is about as spiritual as it can get. But you have to make that dive, and we are going to do that in a little bit. So you need to attune yourself with your deepest longing, your yearning for the truth or for love or for peace, or maybe for justice. So when you dive into the longing, you start getting familiar with the qualities of the longing. And these are the qualities of the divine. And that's why when you dive into the longing or the desire itself, then you realize what it is that you're actually longing for. And I'm not saying that those of you who are listening to this call are not already, feeling the longing for the divine or the longing for these qualities. I'm sure you already are, but sometimes we get a little confused about because we are not fully diving in yet. And the desire in your heart is to experience the divine in its purity. And the only way you can do that is by not turning away from it, by diving into it. So, depending on where you are in your life, I do know that there might be a question like, well, what if I desire these other things? You know, what if I desire money or relationship or success or, you know, wanting to live my purpose? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. It just means that you have not fully embraced the felt sense of the longing yet. So if you have any desire, you know, to meet your soulmate or to, you know, make a lot of money, whatever it is, I really, really don't care. Because, as I always say, allow that. Just allow that too. Allow the longing for something outside of you. Just listen to those longings and listen deeper and find out what it is that you really want or that they really want. What is it that this longing out really wants? And the answer is always that there's a longing for the qualities of the divine. Even in the longing away from, or the movement away from it, you're still longing for the qualities of the divine, such as, you know, connection or love, clarity, peace, safety. So the squashing, when you squash the felt sense of the desire and move away from it, it doesn't take the purity away. It's still inside of the distortion. It's still inside of you. And you just need to listen deeper. And it's no different than what we've been doing the past few weeks. It's just learning to listen deeper. And let's say, if we use these examples, if you're wanting money, if you're longing to have a lot of money, it's probably because you want to feel safe and know that your basic needs are met. So when those are met, you probably have peace, right? So maybe it's peace that you're really longing for. When you think about the money, what you really want is peace. And that's a divine quality, right? And if you want a relationship, let's say, well, there's a good chance that what you really want is feel loved and connected. Those are divine qualities. So that's why I say, no, it doesn't matter what you are longing for. If we can stop and then turn around and then find out what this longing is really wanting, but just, you know, went the wrong direction. That's all. So when you go for the deeper longing with in the distortions, that's where you'll find the truth of what you long for. And that's where you will find the authentic and pure energy of the longing itself. The energy is still there. The energy is still there, right in the distortion. It cannot go away. It is the divine, and it is you. So now you just need to get curious about it, and then diving into it. So I'm hoping I'm sparking a little curiosity in you so that you don't see that your desires and your longings for something in the world are bad or that you need to get rid of them. For heaven's sake, don't try and get rid of it. Just dive right in. Just dive right in, and then you'll find exactly that. So I want to share with you a little story from my own life that happened many years ago. And I want to kind of use it as an example of how it happened to me, because it was very clear, and I think if I share it this way, it might help you understand it, you know, in your own life too, in case you aren't yet. Because I really want you guys to get this. This is just so profound. When you really feel that in your body, it really can change everything, and you get in alignment with what you really want. So this is something that happened many, many years ago while I was doing some deep shamanic work with the sacred plants from the rainforest. I don't know if any of you have done that too. It's very, very powerful. So during one of these journeys, I started feeling this deep, deep longing for my soulmate. Yes, my man. I was just longing. And I was crying, actually. It's like, oh, I just want my man. You know, there was this feeling of aloneness, a yearning to connect. And, you know, that sweet connection that you can feel when you are with a matching partner. It was a deep longing, and I was just silently crying. And when I talk about this outward longing, this was an outward longing for something out there that would soothe this ache in my heart. Because when you cry like that, it's because you're aching, because I was not in touch with the longing itself. I was in touch with the moving away from it, and that left this ache in me, like something was missing, right? And I thought an outward person would take care of this ache. It was an ache, right? Why did it feel like an ache? Because I believed something was missing. Just like most people do when they feel this yearning in their heart. It feels like something is missing. And then off you go, right, trying to fight it outside of yourself. And that's what I was doing. But because I was in this state during this journey, and because I was already very able to be present with my experience and allow it instead of resisting it, you know, it was in an environment where it could change. This movement that was happening, it could change. So I allowed my crying, and I allowed my expressing of what I wanted. You know, I allowed my yearning, and like, I want my man. I was really crying and speaking it out loud, and I just allowed it. But then suddenly the energy, something shifted. It was as if the energy changed. Suddenly, I don't know how to say it, it kind of turned inward. It was just something that happened because I was going with it, right? It could complete itself. It could just be seen what was really happening. And suddenly I dropped inside, and I realized that what I was longing for was the divine, was God. So then it went from crying, you know, instead of crying for my man or my soulmate, then I started crying for God. It's like, I wanted God. I wanted God. But you can see it was still not me. You see what I mean? It was still God, as if God was somewhere outside of me. But that was okay. That was just the next step. So there was a big shift right here, right? I was now crying for God. But then when I stayed with that and kept feeling the longing for God, I was right in my heart. I was in the ache. I was in the I was still crying, so I was still aching, but it started shifting. I was not going outside for the man. I was kind of going outside and inside for God, but it was still to soothe this ache. And then I realized, you know, it was God that I was longing for. And then I suddenly fully felt the longing itself. It was amazing. By being willing to feel the ache, suddenly it wasn't an ache anymore. The ache had come from moving away from it. Right? This is so important. The ache came from moving away from the longing. I hope you get that, because that's where everything will change. So moving away from it hurt, and the hurt wanted me to find something to soothe the hurt with, even if it was God. So it was completely backwards. Suddenly, when I felt the longing for the divine, I was inside the ache, but it was not an ache anymore. It was love. Suddenly it was love. By me being willing to fully jump into the ache, I realized it was love. It was just my turning away from it that had made it feel like an ache. It was love, exactly what I was longing for. This longing that we feel is what we are longing for. In my case, this longing was love. Yeah. It's actually this, what you long for is it. The longing is it. It's the longing that you're longing for. I hope I'm saying this clearly. It's the longing that you are longing for. The felt sense of longing is love. Maybe that's why they both start with the letters L-O. I don't know. And you know that, or you experience that when you dive into the sensations of the longing itself, into the ache itself. And the ache is what most people want to go away from because they think it's going to hurt. But we need to dive into it. I actually had this amazing session with a new client the other day where that's exactly what happened. And I cannot even tell you, it was so beautiful what happened. It was just suddenly she was just fully connected back to herself by just gently moving into the ache. There were tears, and then there were more tears, and then there were feelings and disappointments, and it just flushed it out. And then there was this beautiful, beautiful resting. It was just so beautiful to witness that. So it's really by diving into the ache that it transforms into love. And the ache is because you left the longing. I know, I'm going to repeat this until we all really understand how important this is. And of course, when you leave yourself, that hurts, right? So the longing is you. It's the real you. The real you. The longing is you calling yourself home. And it was never meant for any of us to believe that it meant that something was missing. But for whatever reason, crazy as it sounds now, at least for me at hindsight, it's like that's how most of us have interpreted it, and that's why we go and look for something on the outside. But here we are. We're gonna dive into this amazing, deliciously wonderful feeling to immerse yourself in it. It's very, very divine, trust me. So when you hear this, doesn't that change your whole relationship with longing and desire in case you had some distortion or misunderstanding or resistance to it? I really hope that these little stories will inspire you so you can dive into any of these deep feelings in your being. You know, it's your soul calling your home. It's the divine calling your home. This calling that you feel in your heart, that is your calling with a capital C. And, you know, being successful in the world is great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I wish for all of us to experience that in our own way, whatever that looks like. But feeling at one with your deepest desire in your heart without shying away from it, that is true fulfillment. You know, being successful in the world cannot even measure up against that. So I hope that clearing up these two misunderstandings about desire and longing will help you move towards them. And instead of thinking that they're not okay, or that you need to find something outside of yourself to cover up this ache that you might be feeling. And we're going to be practicing a new muscle. And like I talk about every week, it's like we create new neural pathways in our brain. And that will help us, that will prevent us from falling into the default mode again, is, you know, moving away from that. And like with every new practice, we need to practice it. We need to keep practicing that muscle so that the new neural pathway will happen. And also just a little reminder again about our commitment, you know, and keeping the tank full. Keep that a daily practice again. Always want to remind you of that. It's really important that there's certain things in this six-week class that if you use them and practice them every day, everything in your life will change. It's simply unavoidable. And you know, we're just moving into the new paradigm right now, and the rules are different here. Love rules here. Nothing is left out. That's why your distorted desires, if I may call them that way, they are allowed just as much as anything else. And when you listen to them, you always find a deeper truth, right? Then you can dive into that truth. And let's say fear shows up. Well, you allow it, you listen to it, you find out how you can help it feel less fear, just like we did last time, I think, where we start listening and finding out, you know, what is this fear so afraid of? Or what is this anger so angry about? And what steps can you take to change that, to help that, to support that part in you? So when you feel your deepest desire, you dive into it with a curiosity, just like with the other feelings. You know, no matter how big or how small, you just dive into it and feel it. And then when you're ready, you act on it. And it's always one step at a time. That's another very, very important part to remember. Excuse me. One step at a time. If you guys have seen my website, it's called Divine Feminine Flow. That's my brand name. That's because I know that there is a natural flow when I dive into the wisdom and the knowing and the longing and, of course, the deepest desire in my heart. Then when I dive in, then I enter the wave where I dive into the flow and then I let it guide me. And that's what we're doing. You dive into the flow and you let it guide you. And I'm not saying it's always easy. And that's why we need to practice. Practice, practice, practice. It will get easier because the more familiar you become with these feelings, the easier it is to trust them and to act on them. And what happens is, this is certainly also my experience, when you start diving in and moving with your flow, you actually meet other people like you and me who are in this same flow. You know, you'll see them out there and you'll each serve, we all each serve our own wave. And then we recognize others who are doing the same. You just see somebody out there and you just know, oh my God, they're living their truth. They are connected to the splendor. And you know it because we're just going to enjoy our own uniqueness as well as each other's. We're not trying to be like everybody else and we're not trying to make others be like us. We can enjoy our uniqueness. And it expresses itself differently for each one of us. You know, one may be surfing all day and without a lot to show at the end of the day, maybe just a feeling of peace and contentment. And another may be out there changing the world by actively doing something. So once you get up on your wave or into your flow, you can use either metaphor, that's when you'll know what it is for you. And if you keep following your flow or surfing your wave, you'll notice how it moves. This is kind of the fun part, like learning to surf your own wave. You'll start feeling that, oh, it moves a little bit to the left, so I need to hang left. And now it slows down. Okay, so now I slow down. And then, oh, now it moves a little to the right, so I hang a little bit to the right. And then you notice that, oh, it's speeding up or it's going deeper. And you just learn to follow it because you are riding the flow or the wave of the splendor of your divine calling. You can call it whatever you want, but the more you get familiar with the sensations, just like we've done with the yes and the no and the I don't know, those are all sensations, and that's the same with the desire and the longing. Excuse me one moment. So when you start understanding and feeling and trusting it, there's no more doubt. You might not know where you're going. Like, let's say if it's hanging left, you don't know where left is going, but you can feel that hanging left is where your inner flow is going. So you just hang left. And then you go like, I wonder where I'm going to go now. But I know it's the right direction because I can feel it. Because I'm now so in tune with my deeper senses, my deeper sensations. And I trust them. I trust them. And you go, oh, my God, that's a big one. I wonder where that's going. And you just trust the movement. You just trust the movement. And I remember I wrote a poem years ago about the inner movement. And I think the last line was something like, you know, you can trust this movement even when it doesn't move. And that's the same here. There are times where it feels like nothing is really happening. You're not moving. It might even feel like you're moving backwards. But just can you also allow that? You know, can you also trust that when there is no obvious movement, can you just wait? You know, who knows? Maybe this is a place to have some downtime so that, you know, a new neural pathway can be carved out so you can travel on that in the future. But that's always been a hard one. That was always a very hard one for me when, quote-unquote, nothing was happening. It kind of freaked me out. I thought I did something wrong, you know, and then I would push harder and do more. But I have learned to just feel that that's actually also a part of the flow, that sometimes it just doesn't flow so fast. Maybe it's in one of those little areas, you know, where it's just lingering for a while. And maybe it's just gathering energy and maybe clearing out some stuff. Maybe it's just something I don't know. But I've learned to wait and trust. But that, if I have to be honest with you, that was one of my biggest challenges, really. So that's why I want to mention it here. And maybe that's why I wrote a poem about it, too. So all of these movements, all of them, slowing down, standing still, going left, going right, you just know it's right for you because you're learning to feel it. And it's the same as that felt sense of yes and no, right? We learned the ABCs of yes and no a few times ago. And hopefully you're becoming more and more familiar with them, so it's easier to recognize them. And then you don't, you know, you have to think less and less about it. It's just automatic. You don't think about it. You just move with your flow because it's so clear to you. So just learning to trust your senses and the movement and just entering this new learning curve that we're on here. It's just a new learning curve where you're just learning something new, and then eventually, you know, eventually you'll appreciate when you're reaping the fruits because it's just easier. Your life is easier. So we are just going to go into this meditation, but I want to just say here about the ABCs of the yes and the no. You know, when I speak about this longing or this deep desire. It's kind of like a deeper yes. You know, the yes and the no as it relates to when you want or don't want something. The deeper longing is like a deep, deep current that runs deep, deep down inside of you, deep down in your soul as your divine desire. So you need to feel and sense and connect with this deep, deep yes, this deep, deep current. You want to get to know this. It's your GPS. Feeling into the current of yes. Feeling into the current of the deep, deep longing, deep, deep inside your heart and your soul. This is the ABCs of longing. Just like it was the ABCs of yes and no first, it's the ABC of the sensation of what a longing or desire feels like or senses like. And once you befriend the sensations of the longing, then you can also start following it out into the world. But we're not going to do that this week. That's what we're going to do next week. Today, we are just going to learn the ABCs of the senses of longing and desire. So I know I'm breaking it down and bite-sizing this, you know, during this 6 week, because these are the small details that people are missing in the world. They overlook what is so important inside. So if you get the ABCs of your sensations in the body, you are ahead of the game. And I'm always surprised because I am so in tune. I just know, I just feel, I just sense, I just trust. And I see that most people have no clue what that even means. And that's why it was important for me to break it down. Because when I talk about it, if I just talk about it, many times people think they know what it means because they conceptualize it. They understand it as a concept. And that's very, very different than understanding it from the ABCs, right? From really bite-sizing the sensations and feeling them and trusting them and understanding them and welcoming them and being curious about them and letting them talk to you. So I'm so happy with this meditation today to help you learn the absolute ABCs of longing and desire. Okay, my friends, so I want to ask you to find a comfortable place if you aren't already. And just prepare yourself just to go inside and go on a nice little journey into your body, into your being, into your longing. And we're going to do this step by step. But let's just take some nice, slow, long, deep breaths. Just allow yourself to sink into your body by following your in-breath, allowing yourself to really follow your in-breath through your nose, throat, chest, and all the way down into the belly. It's like you're going to take the elevator down into your belly from the top of your head and feel your body, feel your belly. Feel your chest expand on the inhale and fall on the exhale. Let's just do that a few times. So you can really let yourself arrive in this moment in your body and the body being the place where you receive all the information and the wisdom and the guidance, all that you need. And you just let yourself arrive here exactly the way you are, allowing all of yourself to be here. And all of yourself, that means all of yourself. Whether there's anger or fear, confusion, sadness, pressure, shame. And of course, after what we've talked about or what I talked about today, also allowing any kind of longing, no matter what this longing is longing for, there's infinite space for that too. So let's just first make space for all of this, no matter what. Maybe leftover energy from yesterday or this morning, or rushness for what today will bring. See if you can just breathe into all of it, gently, curiously, and really making this space for all of you to arrive, all parts of you. No part of you left out. Let's take another nice deep breath. And then today, we're mostly going to focus on the longing, which you will feel as a deep current running underneath everything you do and everything you are. It's a feeling of a movement, of something that will make you happy, that is going to be beautiful or peaceful or joyful, content, something that would really help you feel good. So see if you can get in touch with any of that right now. Just do your best. If you feel a longing for a soulmate, just make space for that longing. Or if you're longing for a great job with a lot of money and security, please allow that longing too. Or maybe you're longing for a better connection with your children, or your family. Can you let that be here too? Or maybe you're longing to live your divine purpose, a life with more meaning. Can you make space for that too? Can you breathe into that, allowing your ribs to open up a little more so there's space for this longing too? Or maybe your yearning is for a more deeply and intimate personal connection with the divine, with the splendor, with the God or Goddess, whatever words resonate for you. Just feel that yearning too. All of it. All of it. Nothing needs to be left out. Just practice your allowing muscle. Let it stretch out a little more. All your yearnings, all your longings, all your desires, no matter what, they all originate from the same place, from your soul, from the divine. That's why we can make room for them all. And because we haven't quite understood what longing and yearning and desire really is, some of these have separated themselves from the longing itself as if they were separate. And then you may have moved out and put this longing or the resolution for this longing. You may have put it onto a relationship, a person, money, success, sex, whatever, whatever, doesn't matter. Hoping that would be the fulfillment of this longing. So if any of that is here with you, wonderful. Allow it. That means you have something to dive into today. Maybe you just have a longing for your life to be easier. Beautiful. You have a longing right here. And if for some reason you feel bad about any of these desires, maybe petty desires, maybe you have a judgment about them, that just means that you're moving a little further away from the longing or the desire itself. And with that, you're also moving further away from the fulfillment that you're longing for. I'm just asking you to do your best to not resist or judge or be ashamed of any of these longings. Don't belittle them. Don't think there's anything wrong with them. Just allow. Just allow. So by making space for the longing itself, or the longing for something, see there's still kind of two things here. So just by making space for the felt sense of the longing itself, or for whatever it is that you're longing for, you'll be able to turn towards the felt sense of the longing. It's still longing, isn't it? Whether it's longing for something at the end of the longing, or if it's the longing itself, it's still longing. You're not out of touch with the longing. It's still the same. And that's what we're going to be curious about today. We want to learn about the feeling or the sensation of desire or longing that lives in your heart that may feel like an ache or maybe not. If you're longing for something out there, and if you might feel an ache because you don't have it, just see if you can get curious about the longing or the ache itself. It doesn't matter. when you dive in, you'll realize that there is really no difference, so you can safely enter either one. And see if you can just for a moment drop into the desire for something, the thing that you desire. See if you can just connect with that desire and just feel the desire. Right? That means that you're turning inward and are going for the felt sense of it. And if there's an ache, turn inward. Allow the ache. Just allow it. Feel how much you feel comfortable about the ache. Just see if you can just hang out with the ache. If you're not ready to dive in yet. And if for some reason it's difficult to separate the desire from what you desire, or the longing from what you're longing for, don't worry, that's normal. Just do your best, okay? That is enough. It really is. And that is being loving to yourself. To not push yourself to be something that you are not. Or to try to feel something that you're not feeling. Self-love is such a big part of this. By just allowing yourself to be exactly where you are. And just feel what you feel. Even if it means that you're not feeling anything right now. Can you allow that too? If you have turned away from the felt sense of the longing for a long time, it may just take a little longer to get hold of that felt sense again. It's okay. And you may first have to feel the ache or the pain of the ache before you can move any further or any deeper. Right? It's all okay. It's all part of the journey to love yourself no matter where you are. The goal is never to do it all perfectly. And the goal is not to push to get somewhere. Self-love is the means to the goal, to just be yourself as you are right now. So if you're feeling an ache, could you allow the ache? Could you let the ache just be an ache? Can you maybe just sit down next to the ache if you're not ready to fully feel it? And just hang out there. Maybe bring some love to this part that feels like it's missing something. That may still feel that it needs this and that on the outside before it can find peace. Maybe that's what's going on. Can you allow that too? And if you're ready to move into the ache, if there is an ache, that may not be there for you, but if there is, then it's not uncommon to just feel some sadness or maybe some disappointment or maybe some memories from the past that were painful. Can you allow that too? Can you allow the tears to flow if they want to flow? Today, you want to get to know you and your connection with the divine through the desire and the longing? What if it's really true that your desire is from God, of God, of the divine, from your divine essence, and it's not separate from you? Can you open up to that possibility and see what happens? So you want to turn to your inner feelings first. The feeling, the experience of this longing or desire. We first want to feel the experience of longing, the sensations of longing. We don't want to move away before we really know what longing feels like. Do your best to feel the desire. What does it feel like? Can you let yourself arrive right in the middle of the felt sense of desire itself? Right, just like we did with a yes and a no. We asked, how does a yes feel like? What starts moving? What sensations do you feel in your body? And now we say, how does desire feel like in its own purity? What are the sensations when you go into the longing itself? The senses. What are the sensations of desire before you put anything at the end of it, like a solution for it, but just a feeling like a yes or no, the feeling of longing or desire. For instance, if you'd have to explain to someone how desire feels in its own pure energy, where would you need to go inside to find the words or feelings of that experience? Is it a warm feeling? Is it a good feeling? When you don't get lost in the belief that the feeling means something is missing. And if you still feel a little stuck there, it's okay. If there's still an ache there, just feel the ache that comes with moving away from the felt sense of the longing for something. It's really all welcome here. It's okay to feel what you long for. What do you imagine it will do for you when you get it? What are you hoping or longing for that this thing, whatever it is, will do for you? This is important. Let yourself feel that. Let yourself imagine that you already have it. Let your longing merge with what you want and feel. Feel what it feels like to already have it. What happens then? Do you feel more peace, more ease, more connected, not alone? And then when you imagine that you already have that peace or that ease, that love, what happens then? What does that do for you? What is good about that for you? What is the next good feeling when you let yourself imagine that you already have it? Just feel that. Then you're in the longing itself. What part of you relaxes? What part opens up more? What part feels love or loved? So truly just feel that. Let yourself feel the deeper part of the experience that you long for and what that will give you. You can give that experience to you as if you already have it, and then let yourself go with that, right? Then you let yourself go with what you long for instead of squashing it. And when you do that, you enter the longing, the natural longing experience, the purity of it. And you start feeling the qualities of the divine that are at the core of your longing. So no matter where you are, you can always dive into the longing and just flow with it to the origin of the longing, to where it starts, where it originates. So once you're in the longing, imagine you're on a little boat. You're just flowing towards the origin of the longing inside of you. You go in. You get curious about the longing itself. And no matter where you are right now, feel what feels good about it. Let yourself receive this good feeling wherever you are. If it feels good, can you let yourself feel good, knowing that you're in touch with the divine and the flow of the divine? Take a breath. And the more you let yourself soak in this goodness, the deeper you flow back into the heart of the longing itself, where it originates. Allow this goodness. Allow this longing. You have the right to feel good. That is the divine desire. Your birthright. So no matter where you are, if you need an outer object or person or image to feel the longing, by all means use it. Use whatever is here. Everything goes.
everything can be used to move back into your heart, into the divine. And when you feel the feeling that it gives you to have what you long for, whether it's something outside or inside, just stay with that feeling. Just stay with the feeling, and if you can, you can drop the image of the thing. If you still have something you need to focus on, that's fine. But just see, once you get hold of the feeling of what you want, what you long for, you know, the feeling of feeling loved or peace, then see if you can drop the image of the thing that you need just to get in touch with the longing. And then just stay with the feeling of that. Stay with the goodness. Stay as long as you can in the felt sense of the longing, and let it move you. Let it show you, guide you. Just open up and let it give you the experience of what your longing is all about. Just allow it. Receive it. Relax and receive. Relax and receive from within the longing itself. Receive the sensations and the experience of longing. Receive what it is that you deeply long for. And let it fulfill you. Just letting go. Relax. Flow with the longing, with the sensation, and float. And just be open to receive to the best of your ability. The more you let go into the longing, into the sensations of the longing, the more you surrender and let go, it can come to you easier. Breathe in. Take another nice deep breath. And let's use the next in-breath to return to ordinary consciousness. Take your time, please. Gently. Slowly. Just when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And if there was anything that stood out for you, you know, just write a few things down for you to remember. And we're slowly going to transition into the Q&A. If anybody has that, just let me just first say that for your home play this week, I definitely want to invite you to keep befriending your longing. It is your friend. So get to know the sensations or the felt sense of this longing on a daily basis. And then next week, our last class, we will be working more with the longing, but we will also start following the movement of the longing into the world. And that's a whole different story, but it's all connected with the felt sense, which is why it is so important to feel it first, just like we have done today. So you will never, ever need to doubt it again. Okay, my friends, I am going to put it on Q&A mode. And if you have a question, please six and the number one if you want to get in the queue for a question. Okay, so let me see. I don't see anybody. If you have a sharing or a question or anything, you can press star 6, or maybe I have helped you all move into this nice place where you just want to be with yourself and be with the longing. So, oh, there is somebody here. Okay, let me see. Okay. Hi there. Who's this?
Oh, hi, Pranilla. It's Shelley.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good, too. Thank you.
I have a question. When you said, I have the right to feel good, I know that's true. And then I think, so does everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And my longing has to do with the longing to serve. And I know the deeper part of that may be the longing to be loved to please people and to be then thought of as a good person, even though I know it's most important for me to feel that love for myself. But
right.
So I guess my question is, how does that longing to serve, I can go and take the action to serve, I do that, but I think I get, how do I keep myself love and keep my serving to a point where I can still serve myself, you know, serve
right.
My destiny, right?
Yeah, I think this is a very important question, actually. And, you know, next week we are going to go more into the outward expression of the longing, because for many of us there is something we want to serve. And I can certainly relate to that. I think many of us have been used to serving because we had to, or it's the right thing to do, or it makes us feel good. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but if the serving comes from a place that actually feels good to you. So if you are serving and at a certain point you feel like, you know,
this doesn't feel good anymore. I'm just doing it because I feel I should, or it's out of obligation, or everybody else is serving, and I need to do it too. You know, then you start noticing a no inside of you, right, that something is off.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And that's when you can start listening. And again, that doesn't mean you have to drop everything you're doing, but you pay attention, right? Like, oh, okay, something doesn't feel right about this. Let me see what that is. And you can still serve if you're serving the homeless or serving whatever. You still do it, but you just pay attention to this, like, what is not feeling so? And maybe it's the wrong people you're serving. You know, maybe there is a group that feeds you more spiritually or emotionally, so you really feel good about it, right? And that is, it's a very great question, because I think many of us, I have certainly been doing that in my past. I just did it because everybody else was doing it. And it felt right to do it. It wasn't like, I was not doing it. I was not enjoying it. But there was sometimes, you know, you are maybe doing too much. You know, maybe instead of doing 5 hours, maybe 3 hours would be good. Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
really it's finding your flow. And here's the thing, Shelley, what I have learned. Like, for instance, when I work with my clients, I feel so nourished. And it's not because, you know, oh, I'm good. Or it's like, it just nourishes me when I sit with the right clients that are clients that I can help. It feeds my soul to see how their soul is waking up or being fed. It just feeds me. So I know I'm in the flow. And then there's times where, you know, it might not be the ideal client. So then I have to just see, you know, I can still do it, but I'm listening. It's like, is this really true? Am I the right person, therapist or guide for that person? So it's just finding that place. And it doesn't mean we sometimes do things that we don't like, because we do, you know. I mean, you can maybe not like somebody, but you still know it's right to do what you do, right? There's a feeling of rightness. You see, it's all the yes and the no feeling, right? Or staying in your flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you become more curious when you get that other feeling, that,
yes.
that less of a yes feeling. You feel, you become more curious and ask more questions until you figure out where your flow is going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I have done things where I really didn't want to do it, but I just knew it was right for me to do it. So there was no, it wasn't a no. There was just like, okay, I'd rather do this. But the yes was still bigger than the no, even though I didn't really like it. You see what I mean? It's like the flow knows. It doesn't mean that we say no to everything that we don't like, because that's not life, you know. There are things that need to be done. And we can do it because we feel like, no, this is really right. I'd rather be home and doing something else, but I feel this is so right, so I'm going to do it. And then you do it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Do you resonate with that?
I do. I do.
Great.
Yeah, because I know there are lots of times I'd rather do something. And sometimes I do the thing that I'd rather do, and then I start to long for the thing that I didn't do, because I think, now that I think of it, I don't know what was going to happen after I did that other thing that I, you know, I sometimes when I do things that I wouldn't rather do, it turns out to be the best thing in the world. It has such a great feeling.
And that's when there's challenges, right? Because when there are challenges, that's where we grow, and that's where we sometimes like, I don't really want to do it, but I know it's right. I know it's good for me, right? So there's a bigger yes on top of it, and so that's why there is never a right or wrong way of doing it. The way is always to follow our flow and learn to trust it. And I think that's new for most of us, to be so acutely attuned to our flow that we can say no. If 100 people say yes and I'm the only one saying no because I can't feel the yes, then I feel okay with that. It's not intimidating for me to stand out and be different because the flow in me is so strong that I trust that more than anything.
Yeah, I can't wait to get there.
Oh, and then the other thing, Shelley, I want to just add to this because I don't want to pretend that I never make mistakes. Then there's times where I may have done the quote-unquote wrong thing, and then I can say, then I can go and say, you know, I'm sorry. I thought it was like this, but I think this was more true for me, but I wasn't fully feeling it. You know, so I'm willing to make mistakes. I don't need to be right in what I know. You see what I mean? I'm not attached to it either. You see,
Right. Attachment, right. That's another thing. Okay.
Yeah. There's so many aspects to this, but I think the most important thing... What's that?
There are so many aspects. Yeah.
Oh, immensely. But see, when you learn your flow, when you learn your yes and your no, then you will... all the different aspects, it's going to get more clear. Because you know where to go for your answer, right? So that's why it's so important here in the beginning to learn the sensations of a yes and a no and an I don't know. And now that underlying current of like the movement, you know, that can I flow with that?
Yeah, I get that.
Good.
Oh, thank you.
Great, you're welcome. Did you have anything else or did I answer you?
No, that was it. Thank you so much.
Great. You're so welcome.
I appreciate that.
All right. My pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
Likewise. Thank you. And let's see, is there anybody else with a question? I don't see any more questions. All right, my dear friends. It's been wonderful to be here with you today. And I look forward to our next week, our last class. And I wish you all a blessed day. Bye-bye.